Welcome to the Reconnect podcast. We are so excited to have you here.
In this podcast, we are discussing all topics around Tantra, conscious relationship, and sacred sexuality.
We believe every couple is meant to enjoy an amazing sex life, constantly deepening the loving connection, lighthearted playfulness, and passionate ecstasy between each other.
We are Melly and Damien Prem, a married couple, parents, tantra teachers, and relationship coaches.
Our mission is to help couples to reconnect to themselves, each other, and the divine, to live a fulfilling relationship and sexuality, and bring more love and consciousness into the world. In today's episode, we want to talk about desire, or more specifically, about a lack of desire. Because actually, that's one of the most common reasons why couples come to us and seek our help. Either one of them has a lot of sexual desire, while the other doesn't feel like having sex, and this leads to either conflicts in the relationship or to cheating. Or it can also happen that both have lost interest in sex because over time everything else has become more important. For years, every hint from Damien that went in this direction also caused me to stress out or suddenly made me terribly tired, or I remembered a lot of important things that I still had to do that evening. So it was also a big topic for us that we had to handle. And since the topic is very complex, there's not one way to strengthen your own libido again, but different approaches that you can try out and explore for yourself. So in this episode, I want to present to you 7 different tips that you can try to strengthen your sexual desire again. The first tip is to give the topic the appropriate attention again. I don't know about you, but at the beginning of my relationship, sex was always extremely exciting, even for me. I took a lot of time to make myself pretty for my partner, dress up, create a nice space, to imagine what it would be like to be intimate with each other and what else we could try together. We sent text messages to each other that were full of hints, and we used to look forward to meeting each other in the evening all day long. But over the years, honestly, sex became more of a routine. We felt that there was nothing new to explore, and therefore priorities shifted. Stress at work or a newborn baby made sex just another item on the to-do list, pretty far down the list. I spent the day just thinking about all the things I still had to do, and when I went to bed, tired and exhausting in the evening, sex was the last thing I wanted to do. What had changed? To be honest, when we first started dating, I also had a tough job. But what changed was my thinking, my focus. Evaluating sexuality as new, exciting, and fulfilling, or as boring, exhausting, and frustrating. Whether sexual desire arises or not, and interestingly also whether someone reaches orgasm or not, is largely dependent on one's own thinking. Therefore, you can first ask yourself the question, how much attention, thought, time, and energy do you devote to your sexuality throughout the day and throughout the week? As the saying goes, you reap what you sow. The more you focus on the topic, the more fulfilled your sexuality will be. Because no matter how long you have been with your partner, I guarantee you, you can always develop further in your sexuality. The most important thing is just to stay open and keep exploring. The second tip would be to understand which factors promote your desire and which actually prevent it. Have you ever asked yourself what exactly gets you in the mood and what keeps you from feeling sexual desire? That was for me a real aha moment. All I ever thought about before was how to get more interested. But no matter how hard I tried, it never worked. Unless I was drunk, actually. Then I couldn't get enough of sex. So my problem was not too little per desire per se, but an incredible amount of thoughts, fears, insecurities, and stress that overpowered my desire. So for me, it was particularly important to look at my turn-offs, the factors that inhibit desire, and reduce those. Turn-ons and turn-offs can vary greatly from person to person. Factors that promote pleasure can be, for example, love and connection, feeling accepted and loved for who I am, security and trust, to be able to let myself go completely, compliments, appreciation, the own feeling to be attractive or to be adored by the other person. A lot of people feel their desire when they are relaxed or on vacation. Romance can be a turn-on, a beautiful room, candles, scents, and nice music. But also their own desires, sexual fantasies, or sexy underwear, an attractive body, or the temptation of the forbidden. For a lot of people, it's also physical closeness, like hugging, cuddling, or sensual massage, passionate kisses, and the list goes on and on and on. So it's important that you think about what makes you personally happy or what arouses your desire. It can be helpful if you consciously remember moments in your life when your desire was very strong or when the situation was extremely sexually charged and see what exactly was the reason for it. Was it the partner, what they said or did, how they looked or smelled? Was it the temptation of the new or the forbidden or the deep heart connection? Think carefully about what triggered the desire in you at that moment and create your personal list of your turn-ons. If you have this list, it's of course also interesting to see what gets you out of your sexual turn-on. What are your turn-offs? What is keeping you from feeling pleasure at all? Desire inhibiting factors can be mostly stress from outside, but also the stress that perhaps you cause yourself, like your own thinking, fear of failing, or high expectations, not living up to the own or the partner's standards and expectations. Insecurity and self-doubt, for example, about the own body. Fear of not reaching orgasm or coming too early. Remembering bad experiences in the past that cause stress, frustration, or pain. Shame is also a big topic, or limiting beliefs related to sexuality, which most of us carry inside. Or the missing connection due to an argument or criticism from the partner before. Time pressure can also reduce the desire or fears of getting pregnant or the fear of sexually transmitted diseases. Or just little things like feeling cold or a cluttered room, unpleasant smells, a ringing phone, etc. Here too, it can be very helpful if you collect for yourself what in the past has led you to not wanting to have sex anymore or what has made you fall out of your desire. Write down your personal turn-offs. If you want to do this exercise, you can also download the corresponding workbook on our homepage, reconnectprem.com, which you will find in the show notes. So in order to increase your desire, you can either try to bring more turn-ons into your life or to reduce the turn-offs. The third tip would be to get from the head into the body and feel more consciously. For me and for many of our clients, that means thinking less and feeling more. Sounds easy, is difficult, I know. But what can actually help is sport, movement, and also conscious breathing. And I mean, there are a lot of techniques out there, which we don't want to address right here. But also simply consciously perceiving and enjoying the body in everyday life can work miracles. Little things like the stretching out in bed in the morning after waking up, enjoying the warm water in the shower, A deep breath in the fresh air, a few stretching exercises during work break, or a loving hug. I had never really noticed any of this before, but when I put my focus on it, I became more and more aware of how much pleasure my body can actually give me. And if this is a relevant topic to you, stay tuned. We will create a whole episode on this later on in the show. The fourth tip would be to become aware of your own thoughts and question them. Meditation and mindfulness training helped me a lot to become aware of my thoughts and later on also to be able to change them. So if doubts, fears, and judgments come up during foreplay, I increasingly succeed in observing them with interest, questioning them, and letting them go again or replacing them with positive thoughts. Another practice that also helped us was to just openly share all the things that were going on in my head during sex. Damon was amazed about how much I can actually think. And through this practice, it was easier for me to stop identifying with my thoughts or taking them so seriously or even fighting against them, like just telling myself all the time, I have to stop thinking. I'm still thinking, I have to relax. Why can't I relax? But rather look at what's keeping me from doing it, share with Damien, and then laugh about it. Like also bringing more humor and lightness into the situation. The fifth tip is to find a form of intimacy that you both enjoy. Another reason why one or both of you may not feel like having sex is that the image we get in the media of what sexuality should look like is just not working for so many of us. Only 30% of all women reach orgasm through vaginal stimulation alone. But in all the movies, we're taught that 10 minutes of penetrative sex should be enough to bring both of you to climax at the same time. Since that does not work for 70% of couples, there's a lot of shame and the feeling that something is wrong with me. Yet there are endless forms of lovemaking to discover, away from the pressure of expectations and the stress of having to have an orgasm. It's particularly important to remember that less is more. If you have the image in your head that sex needs to last at least an hour and be super active and tiring, then your resistance will probably be pretty strong. However, if you just plan to lie in bed naked for 10 minutes once a week to cuddle, breathe, feel, share, or look into each other's eyes, and then see what spontaneously wants to happen or not, this can create space for lightness, connection, curiosity, and the discovery of new things. Tip number 6 is to make a conscious decision to have an active sexuality. If all of this brings you a little success, it can also be a legitimate way for some people to consciously decide to have sex on a regular basis, even if there is no desire for it at first. I think that the idea that both partners always have to be super turned on and then sex just happens spontaneously is often just not realistic in everyday life, especially in a long-term partnership with a stressful job and kids. Of course, Damien and I are also often tired in the evenings and don't feel a burning desire for sex. But since we know how incredibly enriching tantric lovemaking is for our relationship, for the connection between us and for our lives, we have consciously chosen to anchor at least one evening a week in the calendar for our own tantra practice. As the saying goes, appetite comes with eating. And that's exactly how I realized for myself that sexual desire often only arises during sex. Even scientific studies discovered that desire, especially for women, often arises responsively and not spontaneously. It's similar like working out. When the alarm clock rings at 6 a.m. in the morning, very few of us feel like doing sports. But once we are outside running, we almost always notice how good it is for us and think afterwards that we definitely want to do it again tomorrow. But the next morning, there is still no spontaneous desire for it. So if you enjoy sex and always wonder why you don't feel the desire for it more often, it can also be a good idea to consciously commit to it. And if you also spontaneously feel like having sex in between, that's great. The seventh and last tip is to take a tantra course. For me personally, the various tantra courses we attended really helped me to learn and implement all of these things, so that the thought of sex no longer triggers stress, but mainly a tingling feeling of anticipation in me. And that not only means that we now have way more sex, which we both enjoy to the fullest, but that also leads to a deeper connection between us. More intimacy, closeness, less arguments, and generally just more relaxation and energy in my life. That is why it's so dear to me to share all these things with you. And also, as a summary, a tantra course can help you to implement all of the tips that we've shared above, to automatically pay more attention to the topic of sexuality, to come up with strategies how to bring more turn-ons in your life and reduce the turn-offs, to feel your body more in everyday life and to allow pleasure, to perceive and question your thoughts, expectations, and fears, to explore different forms of lovemaking that strengthen the bond between you and your partner and bring you joy, and to commit to regular sex. Through my own journey and the years of working with couples, I'm now convinced that we need to clear just a few blockages that separate us from our natural joy and ease with sexuality. And after all, every man and woman is able to feel desire, pleasure, and ecstasy in bed. Thank you so much for listening to the episode today. If you liked it, make sure you share it with your partner or any friend you may think this is valuable for. If you want to dig deeper into Tantra and really experience the magic it can bring into your relationship, you can go to our website reconnectprem.com and download our 3 Tantra practices for deeper connection. You will also find the link in the show notes. And if you enjoy the podcast, we are super grateful if you subscribe to the show and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you so much. We wish you all the best, Melly and Damien. And always remember to reconnect to yourself, reconnect to your partner, reconnect to love.